Sunshine, Atlanta. We are live for the last day of joint practice here at Atlanta Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch, Georgia. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squidbilly. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon, Michael. Don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. She is the First Lady of Baseball, the Queen of Tofu, the leader of Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack. We have my guy Slim here making sure we are on the air, pushing the ones and twos, and back home in the Kia Studios, the most vanilla man in Atlanta sports radio, and the worst wave in the history of waves, Mr. Dylan Dylon Matthews. Good morning.
Do you think he does it while we're talking?
Yes, like,
we can't see him right now, but
I do.
Do we think that he's doing it behind
Dylan,
the glass, the wave?
Yes, I believe so. You have to tell us. Do you do it when he announces you?
I'm currently waving right now.
Yeah, I figured so.
Hi, y'all.
Interesting stuff.
Even if he doesn't do it actually while I'm saying it there, I picture him doing it, and it just makes me cringe as I say it.
Same way. I was picturing it the whole time, him just by himself.
My goal at one point is for you all to see me smiling and waving awkwardly in your dreams.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is the creepiest thing I've heard so far.
Quite a goal.
It's kind of impossible when we spend so much time away from you, Dylan, though, because we have been out at Falcons training camp a lot over the last few weeks. But today, like Bo mentioned, last day, going to be the best day. We have another joint practice with the Tennessee Titans. As far as the show today, 7 a.m., we've got Mike Hughes for you. After practice yesterday, he joined us to talk about everything that had just happened on the field. He immediately ran over to talk to us as soon as everything was over.
Yeah.
7:40, we've got Which One Wednesday, 8:20. DJ Shockley's going to join us right now. Let's go ahead and talk about yesterday's joint practice. It was a pretty good day for the Dirty Birds.
It was. It was a nice, and, you know, I kept getting asked for comments about it as I'm walking off the field and even afterwards and talking to people, and I'm like, the Falcons won. They won. They won the practice yesterday, mm-hmm. and they should, and this goes back to the conversation we have all the time is – beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. And yesterday they beat a less than stellar Titans football team that is still very young and is still very much learning a lot of things. And you could see that come to fruition. They do have talent. I'm not taking that away from them. But the Falcons are, you know, to me, a much better squad. And I think that was on full display yesterday on the field.
I didn't think Cam Ward looked comfortable at times in the pocket.
Sure.
He had happy feet. Now, I thought that our interior did a good job of getting to him. And pushing him backwards. I saw some things from our trenches that really had me feeling good walking away. One is a word. I just thought that we looked good and crisp. And it was really inspiring is a ridiculous thing to say, but it was really good and kind of exciting. It kind of fills you with hope because – you've said it so much, but that's the one thing that we just haven't done lately is beat teams we're supposed to.
Yeah.
And I say lately, like, I don't know, the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. And honestly, it was, and you'll get both of y'all's take on this, it was an exciting practice to watch.
Yeah.
It was different. Obviously, you're competing, but it was like there were times you're watching 11 on 11, and you're like, okay, we are watching an actual NFL football game in front of us with all starters involved, with every, you know, not a massive amount of game planning, but as far as competing goes, it was at an elite level numerous times. You know, when you look at they do have stars on their team at certain spots, and we do as well. So I thought that was really, really cool to see.
Well, and I do want to apologize to Bo because I did not write down your exact note yesterday, but there was something about Jalen Walker that you wanted to bring up on the show today as far as yesterday's practice. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, they dropped him in coverage, and they dropped him, and you talked about they dropped Pierce, too.
Dropped Pierce numerous times as well.
That's what it was, Allie. I just said, make a note. I told Allie, I was like, make a note of that. They dropped him in coverage. Because it's the first time I've seen in camp.
Yeah.
They drop him in coverage. And so I was a little bit kind of like, oh, okay. Because I hadn't seen it. And that's something to me that I think he can excel at.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I think that, honestly, I think it gives him a little bit of a comfort level. Remember, guys, that. And I want to make sure the listeners out there remember this, too. Jalen Walker played mostly off the ball at Georgia. He has played nothing but edge rusher since he got to the Atlanta Falcons. I think that's kind of lost in the whole storyline with Jalen Walker. It's like, oh, you know, throughout the draft process, it's like, you know, has shown the ability to rush the edge but plays off-ball linebacker. And then you draft him and you're like, oh, you know, hey, while he's developing and learning the defense and obviously, you know, rehabbing injury and everything, you can use him as an edge rusher. And I think people kind of forget that because you look at him in a one-on-one rep and it's like, oh, my goodness, like he didn't do good enough, or like he's not getting the backfield. And you're like, dude, he's still developing as an edge rusher. He did not come out as you know, Jared Verse last year as a guy who just simply rushed the edge. He's a good football player. He's extremely athletic. I think it kind of puts him at ease at times to actually drop a little bit.
It's funny how quickly that conversation went from he's so much further ahead than James Pierce. We're going to have to wait on James Pierce to develop and all this stuff too. Well, I think you're just going to see more. The expectations are more for James Pierce all of a sudden. And I'm like, what? Wait, what? Huh?
Yeah.
What? You weren't saying that like a month ago. Now all of a sudden you flipped him? That's funny. You're right with that. The intensity yesterday was just amped up to a different level, and it was fun to see. I really enjoy the joint practice where you see the one-on-ones from the trench guys.
Oh gosh!
To the point where I was talking to someone and I said, "Hey, they kind of knew when things were happening." I was like, "Hey, what time? Are we going to see any of this?" "Yeah." "What time? Do you know, Lynn?" "Yeah." And then I got an exact time. Where's that going to happen at? This is where you should stand. And so literally, I told you, I was like, "We need to position ourselves over here," and then we all like scurried even further into position to get a bird's eye view of it. And I just really enjoy watching those one-on-ones because that's where that's where everything starts and ends.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. No, I was seeing comments yesterday that were, you know, Jalen Walker, AJ Terrell, and I'm like, where is this information coming from? And then I went back and watched Dave Archer's show yesterday that they did here on the Atlanta Falcons YouTube show, and they got a chance to show some of the live reps, some of the one-on-ones between the wide receivers and the corners, between the running backs and the linebackers, between the offensive line and the defensive line. They got a chance to show a lot of that live on the Atlanta Falcons YouTube, and I thought that was really cool. But then I'm watching the reps, and I'm like, oh, I see. That's where that comment's coming from. That's where But there's just too much being read into it. I would say, on average, a lot. Like if you're a pass rusher, you probably rushed the passer 40 times yesterday. If you're talking about all plays and one-on-one reps and everything else, and there are a lot of takeaways based on like one or two, you know. And it's just there's a lot of things that kind of go into it. And you're gonna, you know, if you're an edge rusher, that's about how many times you'll rush during a game, probably at times. You know what I mean? If there's 40 pass attempts or whatever else that, you know, goes on with it. I also the video of Calvin Ridley catching a deep ball over the outside shoulder against AJ Terrell. There was a lot being made of that yesterday on the socials. I didn't think AJ Terrell looked that bad. He was in phase, and it was a perfectly thrown ball over the shoulder of Calvin Ridley.
I am so glad you brought that up, and yeah. Let me tell you why. Because someone came up to me at practice and said, "Hey, I heard. I don't know if you saw it, but Ridley burned AJ."
Yeah, yeah.
And I went,
"What are we talking about?"
I was like, "I don't know. I was down here watching the pass rush and, you know, offensive line stuff." "Yeah, yeah." So then I see the video, and I go, "Oh, you mean the play where AJ was in perfect position?
Perfect position. It was on a really good route.
It was a fade route, and the quarterback placed it perfectly in the red box, and Ridley ran a good route, and it was perfect. Like everything was, no one did anything wrong there. It's just an indefensible throw.
If
the wide receiver leaves himself room on the sideline, which Ridley correctly did. But AJ, there's nothing else AJ can do with that technique he was playing. He was there.
I'm with you. I was, and look, there were reps yesterday where I was like, oh man, that guy got whooped on that one. But you know, there was a number of times I think where our guys more than most stepped into that role and were able to kind of, you know, I don't want to say dominate the practice, but it was decided, you know, who was coming out on top in that one.
Well, after seeing all the reps yesterday and everything that was going into practice, I know I'm extra excited for today's practice. There's just that energy going on with the fans, too. There's a guy dressed out in full pads, like sitting on the hill.
Stats.
I mean, everyone is so excited to be here and see what's going on. Guys, we forgot to give our shout-out to the ladies that gave us sweets right before we went on air.
Oh, yeah, they just drove.
Sure, we mentioned them. Sam and Zoe.
Yeah. Yeah, so they were. I don't know what was going on with that. I was.
Well, you got very
skeptical.
You got like
skeptical is the word.
You got like over you know the parent on Halloween like I need to try all that candy. Oh, that's not sealed. You're not eating that.
That is not what happened. It's just look, it was 5:30 a.m.
Yep.
And two ladies come drive by on a golf cart and go, hey, do you guys want some dessert? You know, you're like,
Mike's like, who are you?
Well, my thing was like, is it leftover from yesterday and y'all couldn't get rid of it? Like, what are we dealing with here? But no, fresh baked goods. It was, I took a couple bites. It was really, really good.
So
good stuff, man.
Huge shout out to Sam and Zoe. We have like homemade Pop-Tarts and baked goods that they gave us, which is incredible.
Awesome.
As far as the weather today, my weather app is saying we're not going to see rain until later on. I know, Bo, you have a raincoat. Are you feeling confident in the weather for all the fans that are coming out here today?
Yeah, I am. Look, I have the I'm just prepared. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to have a phenomenal day out here because the meteorology, I mean,
sports team.
Let me rephrase it. The weather department at Squidbilly News Network is predicting overcast day in the high 70s, low 80s for practice. And
look, what he's trying to say, Allie, is if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. That's what he's trying to relay.
Yes.
Why not? Why not have a rain jacket with you? I mean,
there
it's never going to leave the media area. So
right, exactly. Well, coming up, we're going to get into more of everything that we saw at Falcons joint practice yesterday. Look, we have been observing the comments from the media since we watched practice yesterday, and the comment keeps coming out. There are no fights. It might happen on day two. We have some differing opinions on that.
Yeah.
We'll get into that next with the morning shift live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are
touché.
The morning shift.
Touche, Nylon, touche.
Got some Eric Church going. We're live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, who should be very happy right now.
I do love Eric Church. I'm not going to lie about that. He is one of my favorites.
Morgan is here as well. Dylan is back at the studio, and Slim is keeping us on air out here. So today might be the last day that we're here at training camp, but we're hitting the road again. You can join us this Friday at McDonald's on Evans Mill Road in Lithonia for a special broadcast of the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to be getting you ready for the start of your weekend while enjoying a great McDonald's breakfast. I cannot wait to get a cup of their coffee. It is my absolute favorite. Join us the morning shift Friday 6 to 9 a.m. at McDonald's on Evans Mill Road in Lithonia on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, is that how you say it? Because I used to say Lithonia and then somebody told me I was wrong.
Who told you?
When I went out and did a remote there last year, and somebody at the bar I was at, I'm trying to remember the name of the bar, I said it to G yesterday, and they were like, no, it's just Lithonia. I'm like, okay, well, that's
Lithonia.
Lithonia. She said Lithonia.
Lithonia.
I feel like you can go Lithonia. Either way, Lithonia, Lithonia. I feel like you can go either way.
I think it depends on how you speak.
It's like, who told you that? Wait, I say it differently, too.
Lithonia, we will see you there on Friday. We're going to get into some takeaways from practice yesterday, but I've been meaning to ask both of you a question the whole time we've been out here at training camp.
No.
So the first day, someone was cut the first day from training camp. Now, I know cut day is coming up. Would you rather go through all of training camp or have been that person to get cut on the first day?
Oh, first day for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
But it's you don't want
such
the tape or film?
No, and the thing that's rough about it is there's very clearly, be careful with how I say that, very clearly to me, I think most of us can walk out there and be like, okay, that guy probably not at the top of the list right
yeah.
now. Now, what they're trying to do, a lot of these guys that probably know that, what they're trying to do is make a good enough impression to where they're the first callback. You know, obviously you want to make the practice squad if you can, but maybe they're the first callback and an injury pops up, or maybe somebody. But like, there are certain people in these situations where I look at it and go, that guy is going to get his per diem or whatever it is, you know, maybe it's a couple $1,000s throughout training camp, and he's going to get cut, and it's going to be like, you just took 3 or 4 weeks away from your family, you know, all that. I mean, I've seen both sides of it, man. It definitely stinks. It definitely really does for a lot of these guys that they're going to put months and months worth of work in, and it's going to, you know, end here in a couple weeks. It's not a good day.
Yeah, I'd rather make it through the whole camp because, I mean, you're like, yeah, man, I'm going to training camp tomorrow, man. I've been looking for, you know, you're talking all summer about you going to training camp. And your ass going to get cut after the first day. And you're like, yeah, I'm home. What are you doing home, man? I thought you were going to training camp.
That's where you hear ex-players go, yeah, I had a cup of coffee there.
They cut me. After a day? Yeah, man. Y'all were in shorts. And you're like, yeah. Man.
That's where you'd have really loved to play before there was social media. You just spend a week away from everybody and take a vacation and then come home. And then you're like, nah, yeah, I mean, you know, you got dinged up a little bit after a week or two.
They told me to stick around, though. They're like, hey, man, just stick around a half here. Like,
that's brutal, man. It's a brutal business. It really is. And I will say this, too. The guys that make the practice squad, I used to have a hard time understanding that whole thing. They would do all the same things that everybody else did, other than the starting players, other than the starting 22. Like if you're the 45th guy on the roster, the practice squad's doing most of the same things and making a fraction of the money. Mm-hmm. And you're like, dude, that stinks.
But they're still making a couple hundred grand.
No, they're not. They weren't when I was here.
They were making back then. They were making probably 120.
They were making and it was per week. I think they were making. I think they were making $3,000 a week when I was here.
Okay, so I think
out of 17 weeks,
I gotta think they're making a little bit more net from what I remember reading.
Sure, they're making more now for sure.
But dude, that's like half a year's worth of work.
Yeah,
and they're probably like, hey, I can go do something else for the next 6 months. But half, I mean, that's a lot. That's more than some people are making all year.
In comparison to normal jobs, absolutely. Yeah. But in comparison to the peers next to them that are doing the exact same thing, that's not much fun.
If
we were sitting here every morning doing the same thing and you knew that I made three times more than you did,
dude,
it wouldn't be nice.
Dude. That has happened to Bo and myself.
No, I'm talking about
literally my whole career in radio.
Exactly.
I'm saying that, like, as co-host of this show, I'm not talking about other people in radio or host versus producer or whatever. I'm just saying that, like, if I'm practicing next to a practice squad guy that plays left tackle and I play left guard and we're doing everything exactly the same, and that guy's making one third of what I'm making, or vice versa, that's a tough pill to swallow.
I don't think you fully grasp.
It's not apples and oranges. It's not. It's very similar.
I don't think you understand the life of a producer, some producers, and what they go through, what they don't make, and then have to be the guy that when it all comes down, it's like, oh, well, you're to blame. Well, wait, how am I to blame? I'm the guy who gets the least respect and money, but I'm to blame for all the problems now. I'll tell you something.
I think I got a pretty good grasp on it.
I think you're normally pretty good with these things. You're way off on this analogy. Way off.
Either way, it's a tough pill to swallow when you do know someone next to you who's doing the exact same thing as you is making a substantial amount of money versus what you're making. But speaking of training camp, I believe the three of us were a little bit confused when reports were coming out yesterday that there were no fights, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
I would say fight's a strong word, but there were definitely a few dust-ups that we saw. Maybe it's because we had Bo as our tour guide yesterday, getting us at all the great vantage points.
Yeah.
We saw what
I kept
maybe
having to leave you guys. I was like, I gotta go over here.
You can't stand still for
I can't, man.
Okay.
I can't.
But I think maybe we just got to see a few things that other people didn't see.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And you know, there was so much going on mm-hmm. yesterday. That's the thing. There's so much going on that I think you look at it and, you know, it's like this drill over here, this drill. I mean, think of that. There was like, what, six different places where you were getting one-on-one pass rush? One-on-one reps, you know, corners versus wide receivers. It's all over the place. So if you missed it, if a media member missed it and there wasn't like a huge deal made by the crowd, then, yeah, you wouldn't have ever known it happened. But, I mean, I saw with my own eyes Brandon Parker, just gently – placing his hands on a fella on the ground, mm-hmm. and that was a situation as well. There was another couple of shoving matches, some hands in the face mask, things like that. No real fisticuffs, where like there was a team-wide brawl, but yeah, there were definitely situations where people didn't like each other.
Yeah, a dust up is a dust up. You know, if a group of players come together, that's a camp fight. I mean, I don't think you need to rip someone's helmet off for it to be considered a fight, or you know, so. I think compared to what I've seen in the past, and some when Mike was out there, some of those joint practices, then yeah, you could say it was it, there would that would you could say that was nothing like that. But also, I think we forget how much the weather plays into that, and how much a 9,500 degree day.
That's true.
Where That's a good where. Point. You're, you know, it that it just everyone's a little bit testier that when it's a nice day outside, it's a little bit easier to swallow, like, you know, someone shoving you a little bit late, right? You just because you're not all there's just something about it. But I will tell you this, there was aggression yesterday and there was a lot of jawing. Our offensive line has gotten to talk and I like it. Like, they talk more, I think, than I remember them talking
in a
while.
Bergeron,
Lindstrom was running his mouth too.
Who did Mike Hughes say was talking out there?
I don't know.
Okay, well, you'll hear that at 7 a.m.
Yeah, I was going to say we did kind of ask about that a little bit.
Ward was definitely talking yesterday.
Mike Hughes gave a great interview too. Mm-hmm. Oh man, he was so good. I could have talked to him for an hour. Felt bad. I was like, I wouldn't leave this guy alone, but he was a great interview. But yeah, I was. And speaking of Lindstrom, you talk about talking trash. He deserved to yesterday. He flat backed a couple of people on that defensive line where I was like, oh God. You know, and anytime you're running, and he is literally the best in the league, maybe that I've ever seen at running wide zone. So when he's pressing the outside shoulder of these defensive linemen, and then he's able to kind of steer his outside arm and get them kind of off balance and plant them on the field. Man, it's like poetry. It's poetry watching that guy go to work.
It was funny because first rep he took against Jeffrey Simmons in one-on-one did not go well. And then second rep, because they took two in a row and that's how they were going through it, and he stoned him, and he kind of bucked back, and him and Simmons were jawing a little bit, and I was like, yeah, love it. Love it. Like, I love that. I love, you know, that's that, hey, you know, you might have got me, but I got you back. And they both, like, neither one of them had anything to be, you know, upset about. But they were just, it's just that competitiveness, that jawing, that, you know, back and forth. That's what it's about.
Do you think that tension is going to build to something a little bit more substantial today?
No. I think it is. Because what you're doing is you're watching film last night, and somebody's doing something you don't like, and your coach is probably climbing in your crawl because now they're saying that, hey, the Titans lost handily at the hands of the Atlanta Falcons yesterday. So, yeah, there will be some tension. There's going to be a lot more tension out there today.
Yeah, going to be a lot going on. Right now, we got to move on. I always thought Venmo was bad news if you keep your transactions public. I was right. It's gotten someone in trouble. And we've got my Allie Mack drop on the way. I had to say goodbye to one of my favorite spots last night. It was so bittersweet. That is next with the Morning Shift, live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift, live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan's back at the studio. Dylan, what music is this?
That's Van Halen.
Oh, okay. I was just checking because
that's right.
Clearly, that's right. Dylan's taking some notes. And he's playing some different bumper music today.
Dylan's like, whoa, 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 too many cooks in the kitchen here. All right, just back off.
We're going to go and talk about college football in a moment, but it is the last day of Falcons training camp. Are you guys going to miss coming out here every single day? I think we've got a good routine going on.
I will eventually miss it, yes. I think in real time, the drive is a little bit rough. Not the way out here, but the way home. Mm-hmm. I actually enjoy the – because I used to live – in Buckhead when I worked here, you know, for 3 years, I think, and I would make that drive, and I would come up here and do everything. The drive home stinks, you know what I mean? Because, you know, it's the middle of the day, and sometimes there's traffic jams up 85 and Spaghetti Junction and 285 and everything else going on. So, I know that y'all have a little bit further than I do, so that can be frustrating. So, eventually, I'll miss it.
Yeah. I have, you know, a standing date with my parents every day that I'll stop and have lunch with them because they live in Duluth. So
Do you do that every day?
No. It's just like, I'll let you know how I'm feeling practice is over. Yeah. And like, so now today I'm like, okay, I need to stop. Today is the last day. I need to go. So I've done it once, but I will say that was the longest day then. I just felt like I was swimming underwater. It was delirious the rest of the day. Not making sense. So today, though, I should do it.
Dude, and I love everything I do and – I'm very grateful to do it, but like yesterday I left here, I went and got my smoothie, and I'm like, I got to go to Sam's, get formula. I'm pulling into Sam's, and I'm sitting at the red light, and I'm like, I open Twitter, and I see joining the Tom Abraham show, and I'm like, oh, because I do a show in Huntsville, In there, basically they get Titans and Falcons, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and so, and then I realized that Tom had texted me the night before and was like, "Can you come on?" And I go, "Oh crap, I'm supposed to be on this show." And it's like so I sit in my truck for another 5 minutes in the parking lot, and I'm like, I text him like, "Dude, are we doing this?" He's like, "Oh yeah, we're running a little bit late." So I sat in my truck an extra like 20 minutes to do the interview. And now, I've got to go in there. I still had to go to Walmart get my flip chart, so which is down the road. And then I had to go get mail. So by the time I got home yesterday from we left here at 12:15.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I got home at 3:45.
Oh gosh,
I was and she was like half awake, and I was like, "No, I'm rocking you to sleep," because I knew she needed her nap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I rocked her to sleep, and she was an angel because she fell asleep and stayed down for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Man, I did see you not getting on the interstate after practice yesterday. I was like, I'm a big baby because I got to go straight home. I need my nap.
I know. I went to Home Depot first up here because I was like, I just might as well. It's just easier. It's right up here on the corner. And by the time I got home, I was like, I'm not going to nap. Yes, I am. Yes,
naps are powerful. There's no shame in taking a nap. There is some shame, though, in keeping your Venmo transactions public. You should definitely keep those private. Let's talk about it. I swear, you know, when Venmo came out and I saw that it was like being marketed as kind of like a social media for transactions, like money transactions, I was like, this is going to cause some trouble. And Oklahoma starting quarterback John Mateer denies ever being involved in sports gambling. That is after screenshots of past references to sports gambling have shown up on his Venmo account. So he says it was inside jokes with his friends. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I think that I look at it. Is it weird that if I look at it differently and I think, okay, what if he made a bet with a friend?
Okay.
Like, to me, that's the most likely scenario.
Uh-huh.
To me, I'm like, man, it was just like he walked up to his buddy and was like, I bet you $100 that so-and-so is going to do this. And he lost the bet, and he just thought, okay, tongue-in-cheek, I'm going to write sports gambling just to be funny.
Right.
And then, obviously, it kind of shows up and comes back to bite him.
Yeah, but why would you do it? But the dates are, like, literally after some of those games were played, like the day after. It's just weird.
What do you mean?
That's what I'm saying. You can't do that. Why would you put gambling on there?
Because he's a freaking college kid, and it was dumb. Like I send Venmos all the time where I'll put like the pizza emoji. You know what I mean?
So you want to know what some of the Venmos that?
Why wouldn't you? Speaking of which, if you made a bet with a friend, why wouldn't you pay him the day after? I don't understand.
Well, I just think as a college athlete, you would have a little bit better sense.
No, they're dumb.
You're
an idiot.
You're a kid.
I was an idiot at what is he 20? Yeah, I was a complete dumb A.
But can I say, like, here's the deal. I'm not sure if I really care anymore.
Yeah.
With the way the sport is.
Yeah.
It's there's literally no rules, and you're going to tell me that you're going to hold this kid to some accountability. This is what you want the hill you want to die on. Now, I do believe that there is a lot. Gambling is serious in sports because there's so many things that you're affecting so many lives if you're openly gambling and betting on games that you're a part of. I mean, that's a big, big deal. In fact, I would be terrified of what would happen to me if I did that and got found out, because I think some people, and that's life or death stuff, right? But, I mean, it's just one of those weird, weird stories that then he wipes everything clean.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Can you not just delete a post or two?
I don't know how
also,
Venmo works.
How many college athletes right now and NFL players Venmos are being served? Like, how many people are
I'm sure.
Yeah, they're going through, and everyone is deleting absolutely everything. By the way, it's very simple. If you're paying someone on Venmo, just to hit that little notch that says private. Do that. I do it on every single transaction I have. Okay, so 5-star defensive end Jake Fruehl has committed to Oklahoma over Texas and Ole Miss.
Yeah, Oklahoma needs to build something quickly, and I think they will. And we just talked about John Mateer. I think that that's going to be a good situation. I think that Brent Venables, who is it? They got an early Big Ten game. Is it Michigan? I think that they kind of start off with really, really early in the year.
Yes.
So that'll be a lot of fun to see how that pans out. Both those programs kind of on similar footing, where it's like, all right, what are you? Mm-hmm. You've had your ups, you've had your downs. Both were kind of being rebuilt after some extended success. So we'll see what happens. But I think that's a program that if, you know, if enough wins come around this year, that they could build some serious momentum on the recruiting trail, because they've got the pockets to do it. They've got the, you know, the college football royalty to be able to do that. And, you know, this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, the thing for me is that if Venables has a good year, he's going to Oklahoma. If Venables and Oklahoma don't have that year and something happens there, because a lot of people think he's in the hot seat, he'll be going to Ole Miss or Texas or Florida, one of the other schools that that it came down to at the end. So I just – commitments at the beginning of a season for any games been played are nice. Let's see what happens in December.
Yeah,
for me.
I'm with you.
We'll see what happens.
Don't ever know.
All right, so last night I had to say goodbye to a friend. Hopefully it's just a see you later. Let's get into it in my Mac drop. But I do want to make mention real quick before I talk about Murphs that the Braves did not fare so well at Citi Field. Mets won 13-5. Pete Alonso broke the Mets franchise home run record. Okay, I've made mention of it.
So yeah, don't even bring up Spencer Strider.
There we go. We're done. So, yeah, Murphs. Bro, we just did a live broadcast from there a couple weeks ago. Murph's is a restaurant that Dale Murphy owns. It's at Cobb Galleria. They unfortunately have had to close down. Yesterday was the last day. We weren't really even sure if they would be serving food, so we called, and they were like, we're serving food until it runs out. So we're like, all right. We threw on our Dale Murphy jerseys, drove down, because this has been kind of an important place for Grant and myself. Obviously, he's a big baseball fan. But that was one of our first dates. Like, I walked in the door,
wow,
and Dale Murphy greeted me, and he goes,
wow,
hey, have you met my friend Grant?
Wow.
Like, who is this guy?
He pulled the How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and I met my future in-laws there for the first time. I've had birthdays there, did the live remote with Bo and Dylan, and Grant joined us on that show there. There's just been so many different things that happened in that restaurant for me. It was really bittersweet. Cobb Galleria is remodeling, so they've had to close down. Won't get into the minutia of it, but hopefully it's just to see you later and something gets sorted out. But I'm so sad about this place closing down. I know Dale also had fan experiences there where you could go and meet him. And oftentimes he would invite Grant over and they would play like Stump Grant and Dale. And
wow,
so anyone that attended those could ask questions. And between the two of them,
yes,
they would find all the answers to it. So we went, and of course Dale was there. And he just, you know, he knows exactly who he is. As soon as we walk in, he's like, oh, my gosh, thank you guys for coming. Thank you for the support. Let's take a pic. That's what I love about him, is he knows who he is. He never makes you ask. You know, he's just,
yes,
like, come on over.
Something
take
to be said about that.
And Grant had somehow maneuvered getting some memorabilia off the wall. I'm not sure what that conversation was. But he got this all-star canvas. And immediately Dale just grabbed it and signed it. And we signed the wall where the big three used,
yeah,
to hang in there. It was really bittersweet. I'm really hoping that Dale and Nancy, the entire Murphy family, can find a place to reopen. Because I feel like it was such a place to go before a game.
Yeah, and I know there have been conversations with, yeah, the Galleria, from what I've heard, and hopefully it does work out, because I got to watch Dale Murphy as a kid. It was my sister's favorite Braves player. It was one of my grandfather's favorite. And then he gets traded, and I was like, how could they trade him to the Phillies?
Mm-hmm.
And getting to meet Dale is something I've done a lot of shows from there back when I was producing Dukes and Bell, and, you know, the Braves World Series parade, that's where I experienced, and I remember,
yeah,
leaving down there and going down there to the parade. So my experiences are different. They're not as life-altering as yours were,
right,
because,
right,
you've had some,
yeah,
really big moments, but,
yeah,
it does suck. It's a place we've worked with at this radio station a lot over the last, what I'd say, 7, 8, 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I do hope that either they come back there or somewhere in that area, because it's perfectly located. And it was perfectly located with the bridge there. But it is sad. And again, just hope everything works out. Let's hope the Galleria takes care of them.
Yeah, you guys are unique in that, you know, you're from the Atlanta metro area,
mm-hmm,
and you guys are still kind of around. I will say, and I don't, not necessarily with any places since I've been in Atlanta, although there are some, but when I go home, you know, I have now lived away from Pensacola longer than I did in Pensacola. And
oh,
I still go home. You know, I'm 38 years old, so I left when I graduated high school and I went to college and I never went back. And there's still places when I go home that I can't believe that are not there,
mm-hmm,
anymore. There was a sports bar called Tailgaters where I had like a bunch of friends for like my 16th birthday. That,
yeah,
place was made a parking lot. Now I think it's a, you know, Walgreens. There was a place called Mr. Manatee's that was downtown that's now a wedding venue. Mm-hmm. It stinks anytime something like this happens to a place that means so much to you. And I know that everybody out there listening has those stories as well, where it's like, man, I used to spend my childhood or at these kind of places, and then they shut down, and you have those memories, and you don't want the memories to go away, and you always will have those. But in the end, things change like that, and it stinks.
Yeah, it is. It does. I feel like it's part of getting old.
I guess it is. But, we were not – there were so many people there last night. So many people showed up in Dale jerseys, and they were buying out the store. Like, we were in the middle of eating our food, and they were running out of food, which I was so happy about. But then we're in the middle of eating our food, and I could see everyone buying the memorabilia, and Grant goes, it's probably going to be picked over. I need to go look at it. And so he went and bought his stuff, too.
Could he not get the three off the wall? Like, I feel like that was perfect for Grant.
I think Dell's taking that because they all –
Yeah, they took it.
I was going to say, I just picture myself walking into Grant and Allie's house and a big three on the wall. And you're just like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that seems like
to
fit in.
Trust me, if we could get it, it would happen. But it was already off. That's where they were having everyone sign
last night
because it was already taken off the wall.
I wish I'd have known that you guys were going down there. I would have told you to get me like a shirt or something because I that place has so many memories from
how long was it open?
I'm not sure about that. I would have to look into that.
Yeah,
and it was a last-minute thing because we honestly didn't know if they would even be open if it was just kind of like moving day.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was a last-minute thing. And according to Dale, the Phillies trade was not as big of a deal back then because the rivalry wasn't as massive then.
It was big to me just because I didn't get to see Dale play for the Braves anymore.
Yeah, touche.
Well, you can talk to him about it. But coming up, as soon as practice was over yesterday here at Falcons training camp, Mike Hughes ran over to have a quick chat with us and everything that had just happened with the Titans. We're going to let you hear that conversation next on the Morning Shift, live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.